Where is God in a world overcome by horror? Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Mathilde Frey. I'm professor of theology at Walla Walla University. And this week we are studying Daniel chapter 8. I'm here today with Dave Thomas and Jody Washburn, both professors in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. Daniel chapter 8. The chapter that has become for the Adventist Church one of the most important in the foundation of our denomination. But it is also a chapter that needs a lot of close reading in order to gain insight and understanding. It has a change taking place between chapter 7 and 8, which is built on the language in the ancient Hebrew Bible. We now turn from Aramaic language back to Hebrew language. So Daniel makes a point in this case that he now gives us the dream and vision in chapter 8, and it belongs specifically to people who have an understanding of the ancient Hebrew scriptures, who are able to read them. And so he now speaks of beasts that directly belong to them. How do they act? What does he see? Can you help me on that?
Jody, you're an expert.
It did as it pleased and became great. I think that would be a summary. That's in verse 4. Talking about the ram, it charged. But see, no animal could stand against it.
I think we should expand a little bit more here. Is that we are now talking about temple animals, right? Whereas before we had nondescript beasts. So are these typical animals? I mean, they're not mythical beasts like in the other ones. There's nothing unusual about them, right?
But there is. They're typical and not typical. They're clean animals.
But I'm saying the way they look,
right? But they're not typical. So for instance, temple animals would have to be without blemish or you know, as perfect as could be. And you have here, of course, the ram and goat would be. Okay, but like with the ram, one of the horns was longer than the other, right? And with the goat, the horn is in the wrong place. So they're typical but not typical.
They start out as regular, normal animals, don't they?
Uh-huh.
And then something changes. And the horn grows.
Ah, that's true, because it just says two horns in verse 3, and the horns were long. And then later it says one of them became longer.
Yes.
Okay.
But then they began to act very much out of character, right? Because these are supposed to be either symbolic or sacrificial animals, but they begin to act like beasts.
They act like beasts, just like similar to the beasts that we saw in the chapter before.
So how horrifying is that? What's the meaning of that?
That is horrifying. They are supposed to be sacrifices offered, giving up their lives on the altar.
Now that's interesting.
Suddenly,
that's interesting because there's like a then contrast. If they're supposed to be going down, you know, they're going into the temple, then down to the altar, then the blood flows down, right?
Mm.
But here, if you even look in the chapter when it's talking about the first animal, the ram, it did as it pleased and it became great. And then you go down to verse 8, the goat, he became very great. So there's a progression upward where violence is used to escalate the power or the...
So is this implying that religious powers begin to act like civil powers?
It is almost unthinkable. But we have made that comparison between the animals in chapter 7 and these here in chapter 8, and we have done the comparison in terms of the specific kingdoms. Like after Babylon, we have Medo-Persia, so the bear, and then in this case in chapter 8, the peril animal would be the ram, and then Greece, and here the peril animal would be the goat. We have done that on that level, but we have not recognized that these sacrifice animals should not act in that way.
Mm.
They're not supposed to act like...
So something has gone wrong.
Mm-hmm. Something has gone wrong, and it has gone wrong from inside the most holy dwelling where God is actually living in, supposed mm-hmm. to be in.
So that's worse than seeing the beasts working then.
Is it possible that we even have in chapter 8 here something like a rewriting of Genesis chapter 3, where you have the Garden of Eden, a perfect place, and out of it comes evil. Here we have the most holy place in chapter 8, and Daniel is devastated because the abomination of
desolation
has come. Found its root in there.
So what do we take this to mean? Anybody? I mean, typically we've tried to apply these symbols to history, historical events. But I mean, is this a place where we get a clue once again that apocalyptic begins on Earth and then becomes cosmic, and the cosmic interpretation becomes a lot more difficult?
Oh, there is definitely cosmic parts in here. We are in the apocalyptic section in Daniel.
Yes.
We have to deal with symbolism. We cannot just take it at face value with the pictures and images that we have here. And that is why Daniel himself did not understand and had to ask questions.
And he's sick.
Yes. Yeah. At the end of this chapter, he is so sick and devastated and appalled that he uses the word that he was horrified in mm-hmm. the original language. And he had nothing, he couldn't do anything but just keep on working in a state of
exhaustion and horror. Yeah.
Horror. Yes.
So Daniel did not understand this vision then.
We come to the part in chapter 8 where we read about how long will this last? Mm-hmm. And the answer is given in verse 14, of course. It's the answer with the great number, 2,300 evenings and mornings, and then the holy place will be justified or restored again. But then, after that, Daniel has a further section of the vision. And I would like to point this out because it is this part that in the end Daniel is so appalled about.
Hmm.
It's not even the first part about the animals, but it's the second where he becomes aware that there is somebody appearing to him, the likeness of a man. And the man that is told about here in verse 15 is then comes to him to explain to him the vision. But it is this appearance of a man that makes him go down to the ground and be almost like that he has no more life and needs to be strengthened mm-hmm. to get mm-hmm. back up. So this appearance of a human-like being in from the original text, this is not just a human. This is somebody, the Hebrew word is the geber. It is a strong-looking human. Somebody who in some commentaries is described, and from the language, is described almost like a king who suddenly appears and stands in front of him, a warrior, a hero, who is there to rescue, but he has no weapons. The animals fight and kill each other. This one is just standing, and I am so impressed by what he does. He's not only like explaining the vision to Daniel, but he's touching him.
Mm-hmm.
And telling him, it's okay. Do not fear.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the part that we need to look at if we read the book of Daniel closer and in the Christological perspective. We need to see the hero of the story and not the numbers and the creatures, the beastly creatures.
So the real point of this chapter is the hero then.
That's what I would like to point out.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
It doesn't mean the rest of it is insignificant, but, but the whole flow of history here is toward the hero who stands up to
yes.
rescue.
Yes, it's the appearance that he has of that hero-like figure that will come back to him in the next chapter 9, in the following, in chapter 10, and so forth, to the end of the book.
How would you describe this chapter as setting us up as readers for the next chapter? Because we always talk about chapter 9 as like the messianic prophecy, so to speak, of the mm-hmm. of the Hebrew Bible. But here I notice in talking about all this power, you know, in verse 24 and on, he's going to become very strong. He will destroy the holy people, real, cause deceit to prosper and consider himself superior. I mean, this is terrible, terrible news, you know. He will destroy many and take his stand against the prince of princes. And then it's just very short. It says, yet he will be destroyed, but mm-hmm. not by human power.
Yes.
And it ends.
Yes.
So in what way is this setting us up then for seeing a connection or for being expectant or curious and then taking us into the coming chapters?
Well, I cannot get around that because I read it in the Hebrew language, and there are two words that speak of the vision. And the one word, chazon, is specifically used for the beastly animals. And the other one, the other Hebrew word is mareh, which is always used for the appearance of somebody who is or who looks like a human.
Uh-huh.
And when Daniel receives the interpretation, he is given the interpretation of the beasts.
Interesting. The chazon.
The chazon. But then in the final verse, in verse 27, he is so exhausted and sick for days. And then it says, and he was astounded or horrified at the appearance of the human.
Interesting.
He did not, the text at least, does not mention that he cared about the beasts. He was horrified that there was a human being coming, standing there, but maybe the beasts still had all this power, and this human-like hero didn't do anything.
Uh-huh. So that's what we're left curious about as we transition yes. out of chapter 8 into
yes.
9. What is going on
yes.
with this mareh?
And there was nobody to explain that to him. There is Gabriel, who explains all of this. But mm-hmm. he explains the beasts.
Yeah.
He leaves the other part out, and we will see that come back to us in chapter 9, where he will explain what this human-like
being,
this appearance
does.
Is about,
yes.
what it does, then finally at the end.
Mm. Very interesting. I'm looking forward to the next chapter.
So Daniel 8 is not only about the 2300 and the space, a place. It must be read, who is it that comes to rescue mm-hmm. God's people? Who is it who makes an end to the to oppressive powers here? Thank you so much for this lesson, Jody and Dave, and Abby Wu, we think our engineer, and our readers. I'm Matilda Fry.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.